my face. There we go. Oh, I'm already getting beclimbed. So I'm already getting choked up. God is so good. I'm so excited to be here. This is such a beautiful, beautiful place you guys have to sit here and be able to see God's creation. I'm just going to tell you about myself. Is this okay? Does it sound okay? Okay. I'll just let you know about myself. I was saved when I was 25. I was pregnant for the fourth time. And this time I decided to keep my son. The other times I didn't make a good choice. I was really addicted to love. I was looking for someone to love me, and I had no boundaries with men. And so one day I just said to God, I said, if you are real, you should be able to show yourself to me because you're God. You should be able to do that. And so I'd always written in my diary, Dear Diary, and that day I changed it to Dear God. And I had this really personal, intimate relationship with him that nobody knew about. It was really sweet. I was brought up Methodist, but it didn't really mean anything to me. But God started teaching me, just me and him. And he would say things to me, or I'd say something to him, and the next day somebody would answer the cry of my heart. Like I'd say, I wish somebody would pray for me or pray with me, and the next day somebody I didn't know or somebody from work would say, would you like to pray? And I'd say, why did you say that? You know, and I just started to see God was real. Then I started going to church, and I learned who Jesus was. And then I got religious. And then, you know how we do that? Then we're like all self-righteous, you know. And then I fail. And then I realized, oh, yeah, grace is a good thing. And so the Lord called me to do this. Ever since I was a little girl, I loved art. I was just always drawn to that section in the toy store where all the creative stuff is. But I never took art. I always sang. And after I was saved, I had this real strong unction to paint. And where I worked, we had a resident artist. It's like this fancy company. But they had a resident artist who would do the paintings for the walls. And I would find myself staring at her paintings and just feeling something inside of me saying, there's something about me in that. And I think I can do this. So one day I just sat down and I painted. And my hand got hot. And this was after I was saved, a couple years after I was saved. And I thought, feels like God's holding my hand. But I was a baby Christian. I didn't know. And so I took my painting and I showed it to our resident artist. And people saw it and began to commission me immediately to do paintings, which was crazy because then I got paid to learn to do art. And I was a single mom. I raised my son. He's married now. He's on his own. So I graduated. Woot, woot. And he's a good kid, a great young man. I'm really proud of him. But so the way God kind of called me into the art was I began to do portraits for people, and people would commission me. And I got a really bad commission, and the lady was very critical. And she crushed me, and I said, I don't want to paint anymore. This just isn't fun. I don't want to do it because everything I do, I'm a highly sensitive person, so everything I do is like art. Everything takes my heart with it. And I laid it all down. But the Lord, he wouldn't let it stay down. And a friend of mine was going to have a conference in Charleston, a dream conference, and she was asking for people to volunteer. And whenever I prayed for people, I would see these movies and pictures. I thought everybody did that. I thought that was just part of being a Christian. And I kept thinking, it'd be so cool if I could draw it for them and give it to them, because then Satan couldn't steal what I said and it would be a reminder. And so I went up to this friend and I said, I want to volunteer to do this at your conference. And she was like, great, you're in. And I was like, wait, don't you want to pray? You know how we do? We step out and then we're like backpedaling. We're like, no, God. But she said, no, we've been waiting for you to step out for a long time. And so I did it. I didn't even know if I could do it. I just kind of jumped out there. And I ended up doing like 75 of these little paintings that weekend. And at first, nobody would give me any attention. You know, nobody was interested. But by the end, people were lining up. And I would leave the conference and go weep because God was using these silly little sketches to bring healing and deliverance and set people free and release people's callings. And they looked like something a kid would do. And it was very humbling for me because I'd done these portraits that I got paid money for, you know, and I was sitting there scribbling these little things, but they had more power in them than anything I'd ever done before, you know, because it was by the Holy Spirit. So, is this okay? It feels like it's slipping. It's just slipping off. Yeah, that one's good. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
So after I did those, I had a spiritual dad. Some of my friends from the church that I kind of got launched out of, Mountain of Worship, I don't know if any of y'all know them, but Danny was like my father in the spirit, and I called him Papa D, and I started following Danny around when he'd go to a conference, and I'd set up anywhere to do these little prophetic portraits for people. That's what I called them, and Danny would always say, "Go up front, Chrissy," and I'd be like, "No." I didn't want to do that. I'm like, let me just hang out in the back. And so let me think. I'm trying to think what to tell you next. So he just kept encouraging me. And I try, but I couldn't connect the two. I couldn't connect my ability to see and my ability to paint. I didn't know how to bring them together, you know, to marry them so that it would produce something that looked like something beside the little scribbles that I would do. And so people began to tell me, random people would come up and prophesy, "Jesus wants to paint with you." And I said, "Okay." And it kept happening. And I was like, "Okay." And then I was asking people, "What do you think that means? Jesus wants to paint with me. I don't know what that means." And so I thought, well, okay, I'll have the faith of a child. And I set up my easel in like where I had my computer room. And I bought some cheap paints and little, you know, because I would always use pastel. And I just set up this easel, and I just started worshiping. And the next thing I knew, Jesus was standing there. I could see him with my eyes open. And I was like, oh, this was literal. oh, we're going to do that. And he said, "I want you to take the blue and the purple and cover your hands and cover the canvas." And I said, okay. And so we went back and forth, and I'd look at him, and he'd tell me what to do, and I'd do it. And he said, "Now put the mountain up high, here, higher, higher, here, yes." And it was back and forth. I was crying. I was laughing. I thought, if anybody's watching me outside, they're going to think I've lost my mind. But it was so precious, and it was so real. And nobody can tell me that Jesus wasn't there. It was real. And he told me when he got done, he said, "I want you to start buying paint by the gallons. You're going to pour much at my feet." And I love that scripture, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet. She didn't care what the religious people thought. She didn't care about the cost. She didn't care. She didn't care. She had to worship Jesus. She didn't care. And that day, this is what we ended up painting together. And it's called Poured Out. And I believe this was a prophetic portrait for me, that I'm going to pour out paint, you know? But it's also about Jesus. What was that? Okay. Oh, I hit the mic. Okay. So that's called Poured Out. So I would still try to step out and paint. I wasn't quite ready. And I was at this one church, and I was trying to do a painting. And this man came up to me, and he said, he was from Africa. He said, "Do you go to heaven to get your paintings?" And I said, "No, I don't." And I thought, this poor man from Africa has some bad doctrine. Because I'm like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, you know? And he was like, "You can go to heaven. We can go right now." And I was like, okay, and I'll humor him because he was very nice. And so we prayed, and he said, "We're going to go to the throne room. We're going to the throne room of God." And he said, "Now tell me what you see." And I was like, "Well, I see this." And he said, "You are there." I was like, "I'm there? Yes." I'm like, "That? I'm just there? Yes." And so in my quiet time, I began to go to heaven. And what I would do is just fall on my bed and go, "I want to see something. Take me somewhere. Show me something." And if I couldn't see anything, I would just imagine myself walking down a hall and opening doors. And when I got behind the door, there would be stuff going on. And it was like God was teaching me, your imagination is the doorway to revelation. There's nothing wrong with using your imagination to get revelation because it's sanctified. And if there's anything you do wrong, God's going to straighten you out. He's a good daddy. He's not going to say, "Look at her playing in the street." No, he's going to say, "Come here. Stop it." You know, when I was a little girl one time, I kept watching that Peter Pan movie, and they could fly, they could fly, they could fly. Did anybody think they could fly? I did. And I told my sister one day, I said, "I'm going to fly. I've been practicing. I'm going to fly." I mean, I was a little girl, and my sister was like, "I don't think you should do that." And I'm like, "No, I'm good. I've been practicing. I can fly." And I got on my dad's car, and I jumped. And did I fly? No. No. See, gravity is God's law, and you can use your imagination, but you do need the word of God, and you need people around you to keep you grounded. So you can use your imagination, but whenever God gives me revelation in my quiet time, especially if it's really crazy, I'm like, well, I'm not going to share that with anybody until you show me. And inevitably, the next day I'll open up the Bible. I remember one day the Holy Spirit took me by my right hand and I thought, can I hold the Spirit, Holy Spirit's hand? I don't know. Is that, you know? And the next day I opened it up. Holy Spirit will take you by your right hand. Okay. All right. Okay, that was you. So anyway, so I began to go to heaven and God would show me the coolest things. Oh my goodness. But there was this one room I would go to and I called it the art room. And when I would go in there, I would see all these easels. Jesus would always come to the door covered in paint with paintbrushes all over him, you know, dungarees. And it was just fun. It's like, why do we watch so much TV? When you get God TV going on the inside of you, there's nothing better. I'm telling you, when I get these visions, I just bend over. He's hilarious. It's better than Comedy Central or any of that stuff. I mean, it's crazy. And when I pray for people, I see visions too. This week, I saw somebody in an 18-wheeler with Jesus, and they were hanging out, taking a road trip. It was hilarious. So, you know, vision, God wants us to have vision. He actually wants us to have all our senses in the Spirit. He wants us to smell. He wants us to taste. He wants us to feel. It's all there. But we have to believe like a child. We have to step into it. So let me see. Where was I? So I started going to this art room. And I'm trying to think. Maybe I should stop there. And I'll come back to that. I don't know where to go next. There's so much I want to say, and I don't know how much time I have. So, but there's one thing I do want to share. When I was at that church where the man from Africa said to me, throne room, I tried to paint prophetically. And I put a little canvas up, and Danny was there. And he's like, go for it. And I'm like, okay, you know. And I got up there, and I painted this canvas yellow, and then I was going to write names of Jesus on it. And I put Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then I put glory, and I misspelled glory. I put glory. And everybody was, and I'm thinking everybody saw that. Oh my God. So I started swirling it. Like, oh no, I hope nobody notices that I just misspelled that word. I meant to do that. Yeah, that was my. And I couldn't do anything else. I got so full of just condemnation and And so I just took the canvas and I set it down. And people were coming up saying, what are you going to paint on that? And I was like, well, you know, and they're like, I see this on it and that on it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, let's not talk about that. So I just wanted to move on. So I took that canvas home. And one day I was cleaning out my, I know what happened next. So I was invited to this church to paint. And by then I had started painting. And I had gotten this vision in this church, this beautiful, beautiful vision. And I was having to recreate it because I wanted to paint it at this church live, and the painting had blood in it, and I wanted the blood to drip as part of the worship. And I was like obsessed over red paint. I went to the paint store and I found glitter paint and thick paint and thin paint, and I was looking for the perfect blood paint. And I came home and I was like, now I got to practice dripping this. And I was like, oh yeah, I've got that canvas, that one canvas that I messed up on. That'll be perfect. So I got it out and I was practicing the drips, and I covered that whole thing with drips. And the next morning I found the perfect drip for my painting. And I thought to myself, you know what? This thing is just ruined. I'm just going to throw it away. But then I thought, well, you know, I might need it again, so I'll just put it back in my little studio. So this is the vision that God gave me. Whoops, this is supposed to be it. So this is what I saw. I just saw his hands open. This is the first part of the vision. And I heard for you. This is what I was recreating. This was the paint that was dripped. And that's all I got. And I wept and I said, yes, Lord, thank you. You did this for me, for us. And there was nothing else. And I did have the thought in my mind, where's the blood going? I didn't quite have it. And so I was waiting. And then I saw hands fisted and I saw them shackled. And then I saw the chain exploding in slow motion. And I was like, what's causing it to explode? And then he showed me. It was his hands, the blood from his hands. And he spoke to me and he said, liberty, for you, liberty. And when I got home, I said, I'm going to do a word search on that, because we always think liberty is we can jump around and shout and praise the Lord, or, you know, but it's actually freedom to serve. It's freedom to serve one another, to serve the body, to serve the Lord. So his blood from his hands set our hands free, because hands represent serving in the body. So, oh me, I'm calming down. So after that happened, I was out going out and painting and different things are happening. And it was Easter time, and the Lord said, I was cleaning up my studio, and the Lord said, hey, you know that painting, the one, you know, the one? And I was like, yeah. And he said, pull it out. I want you to look at it. And I was like, really, Lord? You know how he does, and you just kind of are like, okay. So I set it in a prominent place in my den so I would see it when I was going about my day. And I started seeing Jesus on this canvas, the one that I'd messed up on. And I was like, I want to paint you on this canvas. I just want to paint this for you for Easter. And so I set it up, and I pulled that thing out, and I was looking for the right picture, and I found this one picture from the Passion of Christ, and it made me weep. I was like, that's it. But I thought, well, it's from a movie. I don't want to infringe. Well, the next day on Facebook, somebody tagged me in that exact same photo. So it was like God was saying, go for it. So I set everything up, and as I began to paint, I just was in worship, and I began to weep. I mean, deep weeping. And I was touching that painting, and I was weeping, and I was saying, I love this painting. I love this painting. I couldn't stop saying it. I love this painting. I love it. And I love you, Lord. And I was just having this real intimate time. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, don't you get it? I said, what, Lord? He said, that canvas is you. He said, you made mistakes, and you wanted to hide. And then people used you, and you thought you'd never be good for anything. You just wanted to be stuck over in the corner. He said, but look what I've done. I've covered you with me. And now all people see when they look at you is me. And you know, it's just like Jesus. My favorite parts is that yucky yellow, gold, purpley color. See, there it is. That's where I grabbed it in my shame and grabbed it off the easel. See it? My favorite part of is the streaks that I thought had ruined it. And the glitter is all over the whole painting. And this year I painted this just as worship. I just want to show you this. I was totally obsessed over the Lord's feet. And I said, oh, I'm going to paint a companion one for the other one. I was just so obsessed with his feet. You know, Mary sat at his feet, and I just wanted to kiss his feet. So I'll share a couple of my paintings. How am I doing on time? It's 11:30. Okay. So I'll share a couple of the paintings and how they came to be. It's kind of cool. This was my very first one. This came from the art room in heaven. I went into the art room one day, and there was a little blonde-headed girl. She reminded me of Akiana. Does anybody know who she is? Yeah, and the Lord said, why don't you show her around to show me around? And she was like, do you want to see heaven? I was like, okay. And in my vision, sometimes I'll be a little girl, sometimes I'll be a grown-up. One day I was walking with the Lord on the beach, and one second I was a baby, one second I was a woman laying on him. It was crazy. But God wants us to know he can meet you any age. I do a lot of inner healing with people. I was broken myself. I was dissociated. I had been hospitalized like 20 times before I was 5, and that repeated trauma caused me to dissociate. And that's when I really first started seeing Jesus in my heart. I could see him because he came and ministered to me personally, you know? He's so cool. But anyway, so this came out of there. And so she had taken me and she was showing me around heaven. She said, do you want to ride a horse? The horses fly here. And I was like, yeah. And we got on these horses and she kind of disappeared. And then the next thing I knew, my horse turned into a lion. And I'm a little girl holding on to this gigantic lion, like Aslan, right? And then we're in outer space, and I'm looking at the stars, and I'm just like, okay, where are we going, Lord? And then I notice the lion is looking at something down, and he begins to bank to the right. And so I look to see what he's looking at, and I see the earth, and it's glowing. It's so blue and beautiful. It looks alive. Like it was breathtaking. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, she's not just my creation. She's not just a work of art. She's the love of my life. And I long to be with her. And he kept saying that. And then I looked in to see his reaction, and all I could see was the earth in his eye and his tear. So this is called the longing. Let me see. This one's really neat. This one, do y'all know who Jonathan David Helzer is? He's a worshiper. Yeah. His dad is one of my spiritual dads. He got me painting. It's a long story. I won't go into it. But God used a painting that he did of a butterfly being set free from a mason jar when he was encouraging me. And it's about a woman who, when she stepped up to finally minister, God completely delivered her. And she had been suicidal, depressed, and everything. And so he was like, he was on me like Danny was to go paint. And we had this little pen pal thing. We'd write each other, and he would love me and encourage me. Well, I'd been invited to paint in Boston, but I didn't have a piece about it. And Jonathan David Helzer was going to be playing close by. And people kept telling me. It's so funny. God will send people to me to tell me things over and over before I'm like, do you think that's God? You know, wait. I keep hearing that. So I'm slow. But so Jonathan was painting. And I, in my quiet time one day, a lot of times I don't even know what God's doing. He's setting me up for a painting. He's showing me something because he's going to have me paint it. And I'm just kind of going through but I experience all these. They're like my children. I feel like me and the Lord, we get together and we make these babies, you know. But so this day, the Lord had taken me in my quiet time to this beautiful field of flowers. They were as far as I could see. They were big. And he cradled one in his hand. He looked right in my eyes and he said, the flowers never die here. And that was it. And I was wrecked. And I couldn't stop talking about it. I was like, do you know in heaven, nothing dies? I mean, it was like nothing dies. It doesn't even get little brown spots. It does. There's no decay. There's no death. There's no cancer. There's none of that. And it was like, just God, when you get revelation, everybody will think you're crazy because to you, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and they're like, okay, but it wouldn't go away. And then I kept seeing, I'd be talking to people, and all of a sudden I see a flash vision of a butterfly already painted on a canvas at an angle. The butterfly that Ken Helzer used to get me to paint. So I'm like, what are you doing, Lord? Well, all of a sudden one day it's like the dominoes go do-do-do-do-do-do, or all the pieces go broop, and it makes sense. And the Lord said, you're supposed to go and paint at Jonathan David Helzer's meeting. Because you need to release what you got in heaven. And I'm like, huh? Well, not a lot of people knew this, but Ken had cancer, and so did his grandson. God said, I want you to go and pray for them. I was completely wrecked. I cried all the way up there. I saw so many yellow butterflies. I was wrecked. I didn't even know if they'd let me paint. I just put all my stuff in the car, and I got there. And I'd never met Ken in person. We'd always just been pen pals. And I was setting up and I was crying and they had told me I could paint and I was like, I just love Ken Helzer. You know, because when God gives you a burden to pray, I just turn into like a big old mush, you know, because my heart, because God wants you to pray from that place, you know. It's going to make me cry. So I was mush, and I was telling somebody, I love Ken Helder. I just love him. He's like, he's been so good to me. Blah, 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 blah. And they're like, but do you want to meet him? And I was like, huh? They said, he's right over there. So Papa Ken and I, we jumped up and down and danced and screamed and acted like crazy people. And he kept saying, and this is the heart of a papa, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Y'all pray for me. It's hard being tenderhearted. But anyway, so I painted this, and he didn't know why I was painting it. Nobody knew why I was painting it. It was between me and the Lord. But I told him later. And I got it all finished, and I took it to a meeting to give Ken. I wanted to give it to him because I felt like he needed to have it hanging in his house because, see, flowers don't die in heaven. And flowers always mean little children to me. Whenever I see flowers in the spirit, it means children. Then it all made sense what God was doing. The butterfly was Ken. And while I was painting it at the conference, this lady got behind my easel. You know, people do silly things. She was back there worshiping, and I'm just painting away going, what you doing back there? And then she came up, and all these children were surrounding me the whole time I was painting. They were playing with my paintbrush. What are you painting? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, your flesh wants to go away. But you can't do that, you know? But you're just kind of like, I'm trying to paint. I'm crying. And But I didn't, you know. I loved him because I was thinking about Ken and how he loves me, you know. And this lady comes behind my easel and she goes, the Lord told me to tell you that you can reach these children in a way other people can't because you're a safe place. I said, you just named my painting. Safe place. So when I took the painting to give it to Ken, he said, Chrissy, why don't you get up and share about your painting? Now, I'm still the person that runs from the microphone, okay? And I'm like, okay. And I don't even remember what I said. I was like, la, la, la. But I shared about the painting. Well, the grandmother on the other side, the grandson that had the cancer, she comes over and sits beside me. She said, I got to tell you something. She said, the Lord told us when we saw the yellow butterfly, Spencer would be healed. And they had announced at that meeting that Spencer had been healed. And then not long after, Ken was healed. And I said to Ken, Ken, do you think my paintings can heal children? He said, Chrissy, don't even worry about that. You just be Chrissy and let God be God. Because I was like, I'll paint all the time. And that brings me to this painting. I want to share this one. This is so nice of y'all to let me share about my children. But this is a kind of a cool painting. This happened, too, in a quiet time of the Lord. I was just with the Lord, and all of a sudden I saw this horse, and he kept going like this. And I was like, what? Because sometimes I'm a real smarty pants with the Lord. Are y'all like that? I'm a real smarty pants. And sometimes I think, wow, it's a good thing that he's gracious. But I was like, I don't get it. And then I was like, oh, he wants me to get on his back. So I got on his back. We went to this beautiful vista. I mean, it was so gorgeous. And I just fell on that horse and started going, I love you, I love you. And I was kissing it and crying. And then I came out of the vision and I was like, Lord, why do I always have to cry? And I don't even know what you're saying, you know? And so I thought, well, I want to paint the little girl with the horse because I think that means something. And around this time was when I had given this to Ken. And Ken had invited me to come to his house. And I was really obsessed over honor. It was like something I've really saw the body needs. You know, we need to honor those who have gone before us. It's so lacking in the body. I mean, I see people on Facebook tear people apart who can't even mow their lawn. You know what I'm saying? And it's like these people have laid down their life for Jesus. We need to honor those who've gone before us, you know? And your parents too, right? But anyway, so Ken had invited me to stop by on the way to go paint this vision. And what happened in the vision later, the Lord, when I went to look for something to paint, I use photos. When I was with the Lord that day, I said to him, when he told me to paint the earth, I said, can I look at a picture? He said, sure. He didn't have a problem with it. If you're an artist and you want to use photos, it's okay. It's all God's. It's all right, you know? And so I Photoshop my stuff. I find photos online, but it starts from that place of authenticity and intimacy with the Lord. That's where it starts. You can't copy somebody else. Comparison kills creativity. So I found this image, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that's it. I need to paint this. So I contacted the owner, and I said, can I paint that in church? I paint in churches. She told me the story about it, and she said, sure. I said, I'll send you a print. She said, okay. So as I started painting it, I was going to call it honor. And I'm painting it, and I went to the bathroom, and the Lord said, love and honor. I said, love and honor? That sounds like some wedding vows. I don't know if that's you, Lord. I walk out, and this lady comes up immediately and says, did you put a bridle on that horse? Because her hands look like, where is it, over here? It looks like a bridle. See, bridle. And God was confirming to me, wedding vows, love and honor. And so I met with Ken on the way to paint this. And again, I told him, I said, I don't know if I'm going to eat because he makes me cry because he's so sweet. He'll say things like, Chrissy, the more I know you, the more I love you. You know? And so I went and I painted this, and I'm going to tell you what it means because it's really cool. Because I didn't even get all the revelation until I was painting it. This represents the old saints of the church, the horse. These are the workhorses. See, they're gray because they're full of wisdom and they're strong. But they're bound by the house. They're bound by the traditions of men. This is the young generation. Notice in this coat, he's got a little bit of gold and a little bit of blue. It's kind of faded. That represents the glory in Revelation. It's faded. Look what she's wearing. Glory, revelation, authority. She got a little purple Crocs on. Okay, sorry. But see, she's not standing on anything. And notice she's not strong. And what the Lord said is, the horse bends down and lets her honor him. And he loves her. This is about restoring the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And if we could get this horse out of that stall, get it stall, stuck, and we could get, I just got that. I never had said that before. Hallelujah. We could get her on his back, like in my vision, what would we have? Holy Ghost. We'd have revival. So that's called love and honor. Isn't it cool how God shows me stuff? It's crazy. And then he'll lead me to just the right image. I'm trying to think if there's some. This is one of my most recent ones. I'll tell you this. This is kind of, it's a little negative, but I don't mean to be negative, but it's positive in the end. But I'm just going to stand here. Y'all can see it, right? This one, I hadn't painted in a long time. And I had two pastors say, you need to join a church and start serving. And I go through seasons where I'm in churches and seasons where I'm not. And I hope this isn't wrong, but I think it's okay. But I don't mean to be saying anything bad. I mean, I think I'm connected to the body. I'm connected and I serve, but sometimes I'm part of an official body and other times I'm just with my peeps. And if I'm wrong, please forgive me. Because I know for some people it's like really important and I don't mean to be disrespectful. That's just who I am. And I guess because God grew me up not in a church, it was just me and him. I feel more comfortable when I'm with him. But I love, you know, the body and everything. But anyway, so I went to this church and they said I could paint. And this lady told me, she gave me all these hoops to jump through. And I did it and I waited and I did everything like she told me to. And I'd seen this vision a year to the day before when God put it on my heart. And I went and looked and I was like, oh my goodness. He does that a lot. That's how he'll confirm things with me. And so I began to paint this at this church and the girl came and shut me down. And she said, we need you to stop painting because we don't want a superstar here. And all I had painted was background. I hadn't painted anything. And I was like, huh? And she said, somebody in leadership manipulated me into letting you paint. And I'm like, oh. There were just all these things she said. And I was like, oh, okay. And she said, we want you to come to a class even though you don't need it. And you can paint or whatever, but we want you to be there in the class. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm listening to all this, and in my heart, I'm thinking, that's not God. Because the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I wasn't there to be a superstar. I was there to be Chrissy. And I think sometimes people, like, this whole thing is about Jesus coming and releasing his glory. And the whole point is, he's going to do it with all of us. And you can't shut people down. It's not right. And the church needs to let go and let him use people how he wants to use us. And I didn't realize when all this was going on with the woman that it was connected to the painting until later. So I left that day and I went and got my canvas off and the canvas had fallen, it was broken. But I took it home and I painted it because I'm not going to let. It says, you know, it's for liberty that Christ set us free. I'm called to do this. Jesus told me to. And I'm going to be free. And I'm not going to be yoked by a yoke of slavery. And I told her, I said, I can't stay in this art ministry at your church because I feel like what you did was wrong. So that's the most recent thing that I did. I hope that's okay. That wasn't bad or anything. Okay. I don't want to be disrespectful. Okay, how am I doing? 10 till. I want to leave time to prophesy over people if anybody wants a word. So maybe I should stop now. And if there's a painting up here that you're like, hey, tell me the story, I'll be glad to tell you the story at the end because they all have stories. But I appreciate y'all's time. And I will encourage you to use your imagination. You know, the Bible says we have to become like children to enter the kingdom. And it's okay. I tell people when I'm doing inner healing sometimes to use your imagination, go sit in God's lap at the age where you didn't get the stuff you needed, you know, and let him love you at that age. You can do all that stuff. It's really powerful and God will use it.